You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Wait, I'm just getting word. More points have been scored in the All-Star game. Okay, more points. 211, 186. Yeah, 211 points scored by the East. Dame Lillard, MVP, 39 points, 397 points overall. They didn't have a 2 in the scoreboard. They had to cover up the scoreboard at the arena because they didn't have a 2 where the first number is and the 3 numbers, obviously, for a score. Yeah, just an absolute scoring fest last night at the All-Star game. As we have discussed, we will continue that conversation coming up in a little bit. But also, tomorrow is a big day around the NFL, as starting Tuesday through March 5th, NFL teams can designate franchise or transition players. So, CeCe, let's start big picture. Explain to everyone what this means and why a team would decide we're going to franchise a guy or transition a guy, because fans need to understand that information as to why guys would or would not be franchised.
Well, teams use the franchise tag to be able to keep a player that is an impending free agent. So if a guy has finished his contract and they're going into the new league year, they'll put the tag as a placeholder and try to work out a long-term contract. Now, from the team standpoint, the total amount of the franchise tag is added to their salary cap for any given season. So if a guy's franchise tag is $20 million, then the team has to carry a $20 million cap charge for that player in that year. They can't prorate that into future years, which is the benefit for the team standpoint of working out a long-term deal. For the player, you want to get the guaranteed money. You want to get the long-term financial security. But the franchise tag is a one-year payment for the top five players at a position, the average of the top five players at your position group. So, I mean, that's the ebb and flow. That's the give and take. The players want financial security beyond the upcoming season. And the team, they want to make sure that they don't lose the player. So everybody goes through this dance, you know, a couple of weeks before the start of the new league year in the middle of March. And the franchise tag window is when these contract negotiations with these impending free agents starts to get ramped up.
All right, so Adam Schefter has put out there a list of players that potentially could be franchised over the next week or so in the NFL. And those names include, but are not limited to, Josh Allen, the linebacker for the Jaguars, Saquon Barkley for the Giants, Brian Burns of the Panthers, Kyle Duggar of the Patriots, T. Higgins of the Bengals, Josh Jacobs with the Raiders, Jalen Johnson with the Bears, Justin, say his last name for me, CeCe, I'm terrible at this, with the Ravens, defensive lineman.
Matabike,
thank you. Baker Mayfield with the Bucks, Michael Pittman with the Colts, Christian Wilkins with the Dolphins, and Antoine Winfield as well. So those are the names that we have there. Are there any ones that jump out at you and say, okay, this guy is definitely going to get franchised because of X, Y, and Z, because they're going to extend someone else, et cetera?
Brian Burns is going to be interesting. The kind of contract that he'd be in line for, you're talking about $30 million a year and going like and starting there. I don't know that the Carolina Panthers are at a place in their program development where they're going to get the return on that investment. He's a very, very good player. I mean, this guy has got all pro potential. Yet, I don't know that Carolina is ready to do a whole lot of winning, so why would you be paying a pass rusher $30 million a year? So I think that's the one that feels in line for a franchise tag. And if that does take place, you're going to hear a lot of conversations around Brian Burns potentially being traded elsewhere because the two sides can't work out a long-term deal.
So the other part of this is it's as interesting who isn't going to be franchised, right? Adam Schefter also put out there Mike Evans, projected franchise tag, that's of the Tampa Bay Bucks, obviously, 28.4, not expected to be franchised. This may be the biggest one, is that Kirk Cousins, per his contract, mm-hmm. cannot be franchised, which means he is something that we don't see in this league, like, ever, a top 10 caliber free agent at the quarterback position as an unrestricted free agent. And due to his 2023 cap number, Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones projected franchise tag would be $32 million instead of the regular $19.7 million, making him an unlikely tag candidate. Smalls, let's go back to Cousins. This is the, I think of all of these, this is the juiciest one because we don't see guys at his position that good, purely unrestricted with no cat. Like, Vikings can't match. They can try to match, but they don't legally have the right to match if Kirk Cousins doesn't want to give them the opportunity to match.
Doesn't it always feel like everything falls in alignment with Kirk Cousins too, where you know that he is going to get the best contract situation, he's going to secure the bag, and he's going to be able to navigate things the way that he wants to? It always works out for Kirk Cousins in that way.
And what do we think? Yeah, $35 million a year? What do you think he's going to get? CC, $40 million a year for Kirk Cousins if he's healthy?
It'll be around, I think it'll be around $40 to $45 million a year.
Amazing.
Especially
I think that's what the middle class of quarterback is getting. I mean, Daniel Jones is getting $40 million a year. Kirk Cousins is around 45. That feels about right. I think the years is the interesting part of this, right, with Kirk, because he's 35 years old and he's coming off of an Achilles injury. There's no guarantee that he's going to be ready for the start of week one. So I think this is a situation now, if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you have to consider what your contingencies are. Whether Kirk Cousins decides to walk in free agency or even if he does resign, it's probably going to be a shorter-term deal, and they're still going to need an alternative in terms of who their long-term solution is at the quarterback spot. So I think in Minnesota is in a very peculiar situation when it comes to the Cousins of it all, but that's any team that plans on making a run at Kirk Cousins. I don't think he's going to get franchise tag. I don't think that that's the world that we're going to be living in with him because of what you just said with the contract. But I do think it's interesting to see what ends up happening with Kirk Cousins in terms of what Minnesota does, what the interest around the league is for him, and what the succession plan is for whatever team that signs him.
The other position that I think is really interesting here, because this was a big deal last offseason. Remember last offseason, it was Josh Jacobs with the Raiders, Tony Pollard with the Cowboys, and Saquon Barkley with the Giants. We were all kind of wondering what happens, franchise, long-term deal, etc. Jonathan Taylor had the request out, the kind of hold in, hold out situation with Indy, then got a contract extension. I know the Giants are very much associated and attached to Saquon Barkley, seemingly the person, almost as much as the player, because he just feels Giants.
He's the face of the franchise.
Yeah, he just feels like the Giant, like the character of the Giants. How can any of these teams be considering going big with paying these guys a lot of money at the running back position? Makes no sense to me. I don't even understand how you can consider franchise tagging running backs anymore. It makes no sense. Why would you want to?
I don't think they will. I don't think they will. I mean, the franchise tag is what, $12.5 million for running backs? And Saquon Barkley, it's what, a 20% increase off of what he made this year? So I just don't know that that's going to be the case, that they'll franchise tag him. I think he'll go into free agency unencumbered. And, you know, it's a tough blow for the Giants because this is one of your leaders in your locker room, and not to mention a leader in the community, and from a sports character standpoint represents everything that Brian Daboll wants. But you just can't justify the cost, and there's an argument to be made that his most productive years are behind him, not in front of him. So I think that's always a part of the math when making these decisions. It's not just about what the player is right now, but it's what the player will be over the life of the contract. And if you give, you know, a multi-year deal to Saquon Barkley, there's no guarantee that from a health and productivity standpoint, he's going to give you what we've seen over the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, they're in a tough gray area because Saquon has been an amazing Giant, an amazing face of the franchise. He wants to be there, which I think is something that really does matter. And how many other players are you buying a ticket to see if you're a Giants fan?
But I don't know that I'm buying a ticket to see him.
Maybe you're just buying a ticket to see the laundry. But unfortunately for him, I think that we've seen with the running back position that it's bearing out this way, that they're going to go a cheaper route. We just aren't seeing running backs get paid this way anymore.
I think you bring up an interesting point, Smalls. Like, what's the reason you go to Vivid Seats? Obviously, is where you go to get tickets. But specifically, when you go to Vivid Seats and you're getting the tickets, it's for the laundry, meaning the team or the quarterback, I would think, most of the time. It's not necessarily for the running back unless it's Christian McCaffrey. But, CeCe, guys around the league, I don't know if insulted is the right word, but they don't like getting franchised, which is such an interesting thing because when you get franchised, it means that you are an average of the top five paid people at your position in this sport, right? So you as a defensive lineman, if the Ravens, Giants, or Cowboys back in the day were to franchise you, you would be guaranteed a top five contract for 1 year in your sport, which would be, at this point, seemingly set for life money. but it doesn't provide long-term flexibility. So guys like kind of hate being franchised, right?
Yeah, guys hate being franchised because you don't get the long-term deal, right? You get the real big guarantees when it's a multi-year deal, and teams can prorate the guaranteed portion over the life of the contract, right? So that's it. When the team has more years to work with, they can move money into future years where the salary cap continues to balloon. So essentially what they would be doing, if you gave a player, you know, a $60 million guarantee, then you could move a lot of that guarantee into years 2, 3, 4, and 5. And that way the cap hit in the short term is minimal. So I think that is the ultimate goal. But, you know, from a player standpoint, like, you don't want the franchise tag because you incur all the risks to injury. So if you're playing under the tag and you get hurt, then the future money that you could make all of a sudden begins to be called into question. It gets jeopardized. And for the average of the top five at a position, and I think it's over the last 3 years, so it's an average of your top five at the position over the last 3 years, it's not as, the money is not as big in terms of what you're going to be making in that given year as the guys that are at the top of the position group rankings that have those big deals already. So I guess that's the part that gets a little murky. But players absolutely hate the franchise tag. You want to go into free agency unencumbered so you can maximize your value. When teams are bidding against each other, that's when you can drive up the price. But when you have the franchise tag, it limits your leverage when it comes to overall negotiations, and that's why players absolutely hate it.
And Sportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Mike Tannenbaum, front office insider, former GM, created a huge stir in and around NFL conversations on Friday. We will ask him about what he did and why he did it next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So we get off the air on Friday, and we learn on Get Up, our very next guest, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider, former GM of the Dolphins and the Jets, has created a huge stir in Cleveland and New York. Mike, tell everybody what exactly happened on Friday, why you suggested what you did, and what happened as a result.
Yeah, logic carried the day. So, so look, you know, Deshaun Watson, for whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent, has not worked out in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So if you could get out from roughly $138 million, if you're the Cleveland Browns, played four different quarterbacks last year, you have a really good young quarterback in Dorian Thompson-Robinson, you have a vet in Joe Flacco, if you could get all that cap flexibility and acquire Daniel Jones, who's 27, only he's going to make $36 million one year left, that's a really good move if you're the Cleveland Browns. The inverse of that is, if you're the New York Giants, you want to get a high-ceiling quarterback. Deshaun Watson at one point was a great quarterback. He's only 29, and it's a three-year marriage. So it's a win-win. And, you know, shockingly, on social media, everybody agreed with me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shockingly. Yeah, of course. That always happens.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Giants, do you look at Deshaun Watson as your quarterback away when a team that's a quarterback away in Cleveland doesn't want him? I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But Mike T, we're close to the franchise tag window being open for guys that are impending free agents. I mean, Chris Jones is one of the biggest names among them, as well as his teammate LeJarius Sneed from the Super Bowl Kansas City Chiefs. If you're Brett Veach, their general manager, how do you handle that situation with trying to retain both of those players?
Yeah, they're both staying, and I'm telling them that, like, hey, here are solid B deals. And look, Chris Jones is a little bit more expensive at roughly $32 million on the tag, but look, we're going for a three-peat. And, you know, just to take you behind the scenes as a GM, like, the biggest pressure you feel is from inside. It's from the other players. So when Patrick Mahomes knocks on your door and say, hey, Veach, like, they're done, right? They're going to be here. Like, yes, Mr. Mahomes, they're going to be here. And, you know, sure, you report to Clark Hunt and Andy Reid, but you got to look Patrick Mahomes and all these other great players in the eye. So you're going to figure out a way. And what you're communicating specifically to Chris Jones and L'Jarius Sneed's agent is, like, these are solid B deals. They're not top of the market. You're not going past Aaron Donald, Chris Jones. But we're going to keep the gang together, and we're going for a three-peat.
What do you think Saquon Barkley's future is with the New York Giants?
I think he's gone. I'd be shocked if they would franchise him. I think they have so many other problems institutionally. The last thing they want to do is, you know, have a player who is as productive as he is, as high character as he is, who always says the right things to, you know, antagonize him. They have so many other issues that I think they would be, it would be well served to shake hands, thank each other, and part ways.
Mike, I want to go back to what you said about the solid B deals. We're talking with Mike Tannenbaum here on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Are you leading with that? Are you saying, like, are you saying those words? Like, we know that this is not as much, but we're actually discounting it because you get to play with Mahomes?
Yeah, we're saying, look, we want to keep the gang together. So if everyone can leave 5% on the table, maybe that leaves Nick Bolton, a Kansas City Chief. Like, who knows who else we could keep? But we have a real chance here. So for the greater good, we all have to give a little.
But if you're Chris Jones's agent, hypothetically, why aren't you saying, hey, my client is unbelievable. We want an A deal. I don't care about everybody else. We want an A deal.
Yeah, no one's said that to me in over 20 years.
Oh, I'm sure. Never.
And I would just say, look, and I always said, like, when you have the privilege of these jobs, guys, like, I always define the job as being the point guard of information, which is like, okay, let me go back to our head coach. Let me go back to the owner. And just say to Andy Reid, like, okay, where are we going to go short? Like, if we're going to have to pay Chris Jones, whatever the number is, $34, $35 million a year, like, we're cutting Justin Reid. Like, we're going to cut Justin Reid, right? We're going to cut, you know, fill in the blank, Joe Tooney, right? So, like, are we okay with our starting guard being a fourth-round pick? Are we okay with a safety on opening day against Buffalo having an Emmy giving up a touchdown? If we are, let's make Chris Jones' agent happy.
But can you get Mahomes' money back? Can you say to Mahomes, hey, we need to restructure with you immediately?
Absolutely. You're having that conversation as well. And, you know, my conversation to him is, like, one of the many things that Tom Brady did that was always frustrating competing against him is he left money on the table. And that was a competitive systemic advantage that the Patriots had for years. So, Patrick, if you really want to chase Tom Brady, one of the ways that you have to do so. And by the way, like, anytime we had those conversations with players, guys, I would always say, like, here's exactly where that money is going. Like, we're going to do that to get Chris Jones, to do, you know, L'Jarius Sneed. And by the way, like, in another year, like, Trent McDuffie can never leave. You know, like, there's plenty of places we're going to want to spend the money.
Mike T, we're 10 days away from the scouting combine getting kicked off in Indy. This time last year, a lot of the buzz was around the new cognitive test that a lot of people in the NFL were adopting, which is that S2 test. We got word this weekend that Athletes First and sports super agent David Mulligetta, who represents C.J. Stroud, decided that he was going to tell his players not to take the S2 cognitive test or not to take any cognitive testing. Drew Rosenhaus told his players a similar thing. What is your stance as a former general manager on players opting out on that part of the process? And how do you anticipate those decisions impacting what we're going to see this spring in the evaluation period?
Yeah, Chris, it's a great discussion. We actually used a different test called the AIQ, one that, you know, we felt like was really insightful and helpful. But I always say this. The whole process, everything is just another piece of information. So typically, someone that doesn't have a lot of MEs in college, that has their degree or on track to their degree, is going to do pretty well. Now, if they have a bump in the road with, like, one of those cognitive tests, all that did from a process standpoint, guys, was it made us ask more questions. And I always tell players this time of year that when you leave the combine and you don't hear from a team, it's like the inverse of logic. That means it's good news. They have no other questions. So if they are bringing you in the facility for a post-draft visit, they have a question they want to be answered. Maybe how you learn, an injury, a significant off-field issue. Like, they want to clean something up. So it's a very small piece of the process. It'd be like, you know, the four of us talking about, you know, college and the standardized test. Like, you know, Evan Cohen, who had straight A's, you know, even though he didn't break 1,000 on his SATs. Yeah, yeah, no, like, it's just part of the process. So, like, it may just ask you to ask more questions, and there is more than one test. And I understand the controversy around it, and, you know, there were a lot of stories about how frustrated Stroud got, and obviously him and Houston got the last laugh.
Yeah. How?
Mike T, when it comes to the evaluation of the quarterback position specifically, though, given what this quarterback class is, how much more difficult does it make it when you're trying to assess what a guy can be in the NFL, knowing that the offense is going to be different, knowing that, you know, the learning curve is going to be a little bit different if you don't have that piece of information from the cognitive testing?
So let me tell you a story. So one of the ways that people assess quarterbacks is they will send out a playbook 2 days before they go in for a private visit. They did it once with Peyton Manning. And on the very last page of that playbook that they gave to Peyton Manning, inside the last page was a $20 bill stapled to it. And they're at
dinner. The draft day thing is real?
It is real.
Wow.
Okay, keep going. Keep going. Sorry.
And at dinner, Peyton Manning said to a team, thank you for the $20 bill. I will tell you over the years, not going to name names unless you take me out for dinner, that there were some players we did that with. They never got to the last page. And that's literally for a job interview. Like, I have been in meetings on pre-draft visits with top 10 picks, shocked at the lack of preparation some of these quarterbacks had. And you leave there and you're sitting there with your head coach and owner, you're saying, like, we're going to draft this guy in the top 10 and bet our futures on this player, and he can't be prepared for a job interview, and we're going to draft him and expect, give him millions and millions of dollars, and he's going to work harder?
Wow.
That's an amazing story. And I have a follow-up on it. How much does that outweigh other things? Like, if he had an unbelievable college career, the measurables are outrageous,
Michelle,
from the combine.
It's a great conversation. There's no bachelor answer. I'll tell you something else that's happened is we have been in the combine, and we will show quarterbacks coming in for their 20-minute interview and show interceptions, and the offensive coordinator or the quarterback coach will be like, what happened to this play? And literally be like, oh, that was a terrible play call, or the receiver ran the wrong route. Oh, we have taken middle-of-the-round quarterbacks off the board as soon as they walked out. Like, who wants that on our team? You know, like, if they're blaming the quarterback coach at college, what are they going to be like? So it's shocking what some of these players do. So, of course, like, the media scrutiny around these tests, deservedly so. There's a lot of, you know, misinformation out there, but players reveal who they are. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm just a big believer, who you are in life is how you treat people that can't help you. And if you're calling out your coach in the middle of this process, like, what are you going to be like when you're in our building? Mm.
So are you saying you would pass on Caleb Williams if he didn't hand you the $20? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, this day, you know, Evan, with inflation, it probably has to be like $1,000. It has to be like something like an NIL deal, you know?
Wow. Mike Tannenbaum just provided us tons of information here. Are you going to make up any trades today on GetUp?
Yeah, we do. You should pay attention. And I have a new landing spot for Russell Wilson. I'll give you a hint. Greeny should be paying attention.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You're not. So we're not going to get this now. You're going to prioritize GetUp over us.
No. Where do you think Russell Wilson's going to wind up? It's a hard. It's a
Greeny
hard...
should be paying attention. Would mean AFC East. Would mean the Jets.
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, it's really an interesting discussion. Where do you guys think Russell Wilson's going to wind up? It's really hard to.
I think he should go back to Seattle.
Do you think they want him?
I don't know.
No, I don't. But I think that's where he should go.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think that's too sticky of a situation.
New England is what he's saying, I think.
Chris, where do you think?
Ooh, Atlanta.
Yeah, we thought Atlanta, but, you know, I think Justin Fields just feels like that's where he's going to wind up at the end of the day.
What a tease. Mr. T will be on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern. He refuses to tell us because we didn't give him the $20 back. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, upon further review. I guess this is post-All-Star break edition of Upon Further Review. Is that what we're doing, Evan?
I think the All-Star break is a break. I think we learned that last night. It is fully a break from start to finish for these players. The whole thing's a break.
All right. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Michelle, and Canty. And this is Upon Further Review. Without further ado, let's get this thing kicked off.
Number three.
We got Jimmy Garoppolo being suspended for PED. So Jimmy Garoppolo took a substance and he didn't have a therapeutic exemption, which is now going to cost him the first two games of the 2024 regular season. Now he's assumed to be an impending free agent from the Las Vegas Raiders. And it's a situation now where he's looking to latch on to a team. But my only question is, Jimmy Garoppolo on PEDs and the version of Jimmy Garoppolo that we saw in 2023 was a guy that played in 13 games and had a career low when it came to passer rating and QBR. I know that he's probably going to be more in line for a backup quarterback job than a starting quarterback job, but here's the reality of the NFL. There are never enough quality quarterbacks to go around. So I would not in the least bit be surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo is a starting quarterback by virtue of the circumstances. My only question is there a team out there that's willing to saddle up with Jimmy Garoppolo as their starting quarterback going into the regular season? Eight ball says doubtful, especially with the news about the PEDs. I think Jimmy Garoppolo's days as a full-time starter in the NFL have come to a close.
Are we suggesting that he doesn't always look this good, that it was performance-enhancing drugs that got him there? I just want to be clear on this.
Wow.
Nobody else thought that? How can you not think he's the most handsome guy in the league? We have to ask the question, was it the drugs or was it natural? Got to ask.
You think they impacted his face?
I think it was more Kyle Shanahan than anything else. Kyle Shanahan made him look good in more ways than one. Just saying, win a lot of games, you look a lot better. Next.
Number two.
No wonder why I'm
ugly. The dunk contest.
Oh, boy.
The dunk contest judges. Are we serious? The best dunk of the night was Jacob Toppin between the legs, 360, ends up being able to finish it with two hands at the rim. It was an absolutely unbelievable dunk. No disrespect to Mac McClung, who is the back-to-back dunk contest winner. I thought his dunks were phenomenal. The one where he double catches the ball and reverses it, crazy. But here's my thing. Jacob Toppin, that dunk that he did between the legs, 360, finished with two hands, that can't get him into the finals? I just don't understand what the judges from the dunk contest are doing. It's like these guys have never been a part of the dunk contest. They don't know what the festivities are all about. The fact that Jacob Toppin didn't make it to the finals in the dunk contest is an absolute joke. Show me the creativity that we saw from any one of Jaylen Brown's dunks. I'll wait. I mean, he tried to do the D Brown, but waited to blindfold himself until after he dunked the basketball.
Ridiculous.
I don't understand what we're doing. That dunk can get him into the finals, but Jacob Toppin's dunk couldn't? I don't understand what we're doing with the judges from the dunk contest. They were absolutely atrocious. And to me, it put a damper on what was otherwise an awesome Saturday night for All-Star Weekend.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because a revelation for me on the show today that I don't think I've ever said. Growing up, Michael Jordan was my favorite basketball player. My second favorite player was D. Brown. I was like 11 years old when D. Brown won the dunk contest for the Boston Celtics, did the Reebok pumps, blindfolded himself with his own arm like he was dabbing. I fell in love with that guy, right? I love that guy. Jaylen Brown was nothing like D. Brown. As CeCe said, you can't claim to have a blindfolded dunk after you land. It's literally, he was dabbing. It was ridiculous. The judges were awful. Mac McClung, the double catch, I thought was amazing. And here's the other thing. Mac McClung is dominated, and I saw you put this out on Twitter, CC, about that like it's his, and you're right about that, at Chris Canty 99. At the same time, the dunk contest has gotten so bad that the winner of the last 2 years doesn't even play in the NBA. They had to go get G League guys. That means you don't have enough in this league to do it. It was brutal. And the judges were horrible.
I just don't understand. And they brought this up on the broadcast, Ev. Why isn't a guy like Anthony Edwards in the dunk contest?
Because he doesn't want to be. I mean, I know that's a dumb response, but that's kind of what it is.
I don't understand why a guy like Anthony Edwards isn't in the dunk contest.
Yeah, they need more
Whatever the NBA has to do to incentivize him. I mean, I guess there's the $1 million that's out there, but if there are more NBA endorsements that they could throw his way, like endorsing products, endorsing brands, as an incentive, as a carrot to get guys to participate in this event, like that, that's what needs to happen. Because let's face it, if Anthony Edwards is in this dunk contest, it adds a lot more spice to it. It adds a lot more flair to it. Like, I mean, Mac McClung might still win because Mac McClung, this is his Super Bowl. Like, making $1 million is a big thing for him when he's playing for the Osceola Magic. But, I mean, I guess my whole point is, we want to see the best and the brightest. I want to see the dunk contest that had Dominique, that had Michael Jordan, that had Spud Webb. Like, those are the ones I want to see, that had D. Brown. Those are the dunk contests that were fun. Like, I want to get it back to that. I don't know if it ever will because the money is so big now and players are I guess, disincentivized because of the stakes. But, man, it would be great if you could have players like Anthony Edwards in the dunk contest.
I also have to out myself, and Smalls, you may have to help with this because you're way cooler. Who is Kai something or other?
Sinat.
Yeah,
he's
him, I don't know. Who is he?
He's a big time streamer.
Okay, he was a part of it. And then, again, I'm sorry. Who was the guy dressed in the Dominique jersey that wasn't Dominique that Jaylen Brown brought out? Anybody know that? I don't know. I got to be honest. I felt so old on Saturday. I don't know who any of these people were. I mean, it's like Blake Griffin once jumped over a car. Now we're jumping over Kai's. Who was he?
Sinat. All right, well, I mean, let's relax on the Blake Griffin dunk.
Okay, but it's better than.
I don't know. Was it? The Blake Griffin dunk was terrible.
You get the point, Pat. I mean, that's. Next year, Golden State's hosting Steph, Sabrina, Clay, Caitlin. That'll be fun.
Steph and Sabrina was the highlight.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a highlight. That was the highlight. Next.
Number one.
Of course, we talked about this with Mike Tannenbaum a little bit, but Athletes First Sports Agency advises its draft prospects not to take any cognitive testing during the pre-draft process. That means at the scouting combine, there's not going to be any Wonderlic. There's not going to be any S2 cognitive test. They're not going to take any cognitive testing. Drew Rosenhaus advised his players to do the same thing. Now, this is on the heels of what happened last year in the pre-draft process where quarterback C.J. Stroud's S2 cognitive test score got out there, and that scared away some other teams. And it is believed that this is something that can devalue a prospect's chances of being drafted as high as they possibly could. So those guys deciding to pass on it, I am for it. I actually think that teams look at information as they can get overwhelmed by the information that comes out during the draft process, and they take their eyes off the ball when it comes to what the player is and what he projects to be based on the tape. I always felt like the evaluation of the player should always go back to the tape in the interview and less on the periphery when it comes to cognitive testing or being able to bench press a lot of weight or being able to run really fast. If the guy can play football on tape and the guy has good football character and good off-field character, then that's a player that you can trust in the National Football League, and that's a player that has a good chance at being able to realize their potential. I just, the things that happen in the pre-draft process feel like a way to devalue a player, and I'm not for that, and I'm saying good on those sports agencies for telling their players not to participate in those aspects of the pre-draft process.
Yeah, I'm with you, CC. If I was someone's representation And after what happened with CJ Stroud, I would be advising them not to, to do this as well, especially if you're going to take this test and it's going to be put out there to weaponize against you for public consumption. If there's no confidentiality behind any of this, why would I want to put my client in that situation?
I'll tell you, I don't know where I would have been on this prior to having kids. And I'm being serious. Like, once you have kids, my kids are 10 and 7, you really fully understand that every single person has differences in learning and how they like consume information and things like that. And that some people consume things and learn different ways than others. So, like, CJ Stroud may learn differently than Bryce Young. Who cares if that's what you get on the field?
Well, I care about mitigating risk because guess what? I got to feed my kids. If you're a coach, if you're a GM, right. Like, that's how you're looking at it. Like, if I've got two players and the grades are about equal, but one tested well cognitively on the test, the aptitude test that my team uses, and the other one tests poorly, well, what are you going to do? You're going to lead the one that tested well just because you're trying to mitigate risk. But in the process of mitigating risk, you end up devaluing a player, and it becomes unfair when that information gets leaked. Because, again, in this era of CYA, these GMs, these coaches, they want to lead people down the road of the rationale that they used in order to select a certain player, thinking that that would provide cover in case the decision doesn't work out. And that's the biggest issue with happened with CJ Stroud. The fact that the organizations let it get leaked as a part of them trying to protect themselves. I'm not for that. Like, trying to protect yourself by throwing somebody under the bus, I'm just not about that, especially when it comes to young men's looking to start their professional careers.
I totally understand, totally agree. I guess my only point is that people learn differently, and if that test is not perfect for everyone, you may not get the perfect response from everyone, as we saw from CJ Stroud, who everyone would take on their team, obviously, moving forward.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Learning differently is fine, and it's all well and good. Do you want to take a risk as an organization with a player that learns differently at the quarterback spot?
Well, the Texans did, I guess.
The Texans did, and they did the right thing. Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm giving the other side of it. Like, this is what teams do throughout the process. I think it's stupid because the tape tells you everything you need to know, and this is not revisionist history by me. I thought CJ Stroud was the best quarterback coming out last year. I was proven right. Go back to the tape. Go back to what people around the player say, and that's all that matters. Agreed. That's all that should matter.
Agree. Upon further review, NR Sports Centers are brought to you by eBay Motors. From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. I'm over it. Next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, he's back. Pat Costello, our producer. CC reported last week that he quit.
He was a quitter. He's a quitter. He tapped out in the middle of the show and didn't show up the next day.
That's right.
Before yeah, but I'm here now.
I mean, unless somebody's going to the hospital, unless somebody's passed, I mean, there really is no excuse for that.
Well, hopefully neither of those two things happened, as Pat Costello, our producer, each and every day, well, except for the days that per CCE quits, gives us things he's over in life, sports, entertainment. Go ahead, Pat.
I think I slept for like 13 hours on Friday or something stupid. Wow. It was great. Yeah. I felt awful. Thanks, Canty.
It was great. I felt awful.
Yeah.
I mean, you left in the middle of the game. I mean, you're like Antonio Brown in that way. I mean, we just can't depend on you. I'm just saying.
I don't know what to do with that comparison, so I'm just going to keep it moving.
Keep it pushing.
All-Star Saturday is great still because it's the only thing that's competitive, but it does need to change just based on the format of it. The dunk contest should not be last. The dunk contest is not good enough to be last anymore. I think they have to start with it, and then you can throw the skills competition in there, but the main event should be the three-point contest. It's the only thing that's competitive. The new WNBA-NBA thing, the shootout thing, was awesome, mm-hmm. so maybe that could be the main event. Either way, the dunk contest cannot be the last thing that you watch on All-Star Saturday.
I think that's a good point, especially since like everybody in the league now shoots threes.
Yeah.
So like actually more people shoot threes than dunk probably in the NBA right now, as crazy as that sounds. I think that the Steph versus Sabrina was awesome. I don't know that it's always going to be awesome. I think those two are awesome, and then we have to see how that evolves. It's too early to tell on that. I would get Caitlin Clark in it immediately next year if she's a W in the WNBA. If I'm Adam Silver, the commissioner, I am reaching out to whoever represents Caitlin Clark right now and booking her time for next year, because you can't miss out on Caitlin Clark next year. I think it's a good point. All-Star game, All-Star Saturday night, let's have the guts to put the dunk contest first and acknowledge it's not as good as it once was.
Wow. I mean, yeah, you're not wrong, but I guess the part of the beauty of the dunk contest once upon a time was that you're seeing guys do something that no one else could do.
Right.
Like other people couldn't fathom it. Like shooting threes, that's something that everybody does when they go to their local gym, and everybody thinks they could do the three-point contest. We all know that they can't. But when you see guys going off like Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon did once upon a time when they put on a show, I think that was 2016, you're like, wow, this is pretty amazing to see these types of athletes with that level of creativity dunking a basketball. I wish we could get back there, but the dunk contest is a shell of itself. I guess we have to acknowledge where it's at versus what we want when it's at its best. That's why you should start with it, though, Canty.
Because no, that I know, way, if it's bad, still, we can just move on.
But it's still sad. But it's still sad, though, I guess, Pat, because of when it's at its best, it is the best thing on All-Star Saturday night. Like the Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine dunk contest, give me 10 of them. Like that's what everybody would want, and yet we can't have it. We haven't had it. So I guess what you're saying is relegating it to the beginning of the festivities makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't feel fresh anymore. Like Sabrina Steph felt fresh. Yeah. It had that drama, that excitement, that anticipation. The dunk contest just doesn't really have that feeling anymore. So I think this is great by Pat to put it first. I like that idea.
I also think you can just wait. Like, let's see who's in it next year. If Anthony Edwards is in it, then we'll put it last. If it's Jacob Toppin versus Mac McClung, we could put it first. next, Pat.
The LED core was cool looking. Please, I'm begging the NBA to not use it for actual games. Like, I can see it coming for the in-season tournament already. Don't do it. It's a future mistake that I'm saving you from now.
The LED decor. Okay, so...
The court.
Yeah, the court. Okay. Yeah. I don't think they're going to use it for regular games because it's too distracting, don't you think?
Yeah. It was cool for this event. It felt special. It felt big. But I can't see them using that for regular games.
I could absolutely see them doing it, which is why Pat is advising them not to. Like, you remember what the courts looked like in the in-season tournament?
Yeah.
They were awful. They were awful.
I don't think anybody was smart.
You could say it's smart as a point of distinction.
Correct,
to separate the games. But, I mean, the better way to do it is by having the LED court. Now, if you get somebody to sponsor it, then it's probably a lot easier for the NBA to do it because they don't have to pull the money out of pocket. But to me, like, the LED court is definitely something that they're going to look to explore, especially if there's super rich owners like Steve Ballmer that's building a new arena could afford to do so. Like, I don't think it's the direction that they need to be going in just because it gets busy when it comes to the actual on-court product. I get it for All-Star Weekend. It makes sense. But let's just keep it confined to that. Sometimes you can have too much of a good thing.
Next one, Pat.
Carrot cake is absolutely disgusting.
Oh.
I do not understand how people think that this is a good cake. I don't want vegetables in my desserts. It's gross.
You can't taste the carrots.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, maybe you taste it from a texture perspective because they're grated in, but it doesn't taste like a carrot. It tastes like sugar. It tastes like cake.
Carrot cake is awesome. I love carrot cake. It's one of my favorite desserts. I don't know what to tell Pat.
I don't. Carrot cake is not like a top 3 to 5 cake. It's not even close.
Yes, it is.
I didn't say it was a top 3 to 5. I didn't say it was top 3 to 5, but it's still a good a good dessert.
What would you put top five then if carrot cake is not in the mix?
Well, any chocolate cake, any vanilla cake, a strawberry cake, like the red velvet cake. So that's already four, right?
Red velvet is overrated.
Strawberry cake.
Yeah, I've never had
like a strawberry cake. Shortcake kind of thing? No?
Strawberry shortcake is not a cake. It's a totally different scenario.
Sorry.
It's like
apple cobbler, sweet potato
but
pie.
But I wouldn't put pie or cobbler in the cake discussion. I love a good coconut
cake. What about like an Oreo cheesecake?
I thought we were saying desserts. Are we just saying cakes? We're just going to keep it to the cake realm?
Ice cream cake?
That's ice cream. It's not a cake.
But it's called an ice cream cake. The one you get from Carvel, it's amazing.
There could be some cake in an ice cream cake.
Yeah. Ice cream, you would take ice cream cake over carrot cake every day. The Carvel one with the little things in the middle?
I don't know if I would do that.
Oh, my God. Then you haven't had the right one. You've had the Carvel ones, haven't you, CeCe?
I had the Carvel ones, yeah.
I've never been to
Carvel. I'm not ashamed to say I've ordered an entire Carvel ice cream cake for myself.
There you go. That's the CeCe you know and love
right
there.
The one with the whale? Yeah, I've done it.
And,
here's the thing. It wasn't anybody's birthday. I just wanted to treat myself. And I kept it all for me.
So you
don't need anybody's judgment. I've done it.
One spoon.
Oh, I'm judging positively. I'm giving you a round of applause.
I have
those little chocolate crunchy things in the middle.
Wait, I have some follow-ups.
Oh, they're phenomenal.
Those
little crunchy things are the best.
How long did it take you to mow through the cake?
It took me 3 days.
3 days.
3 days.
Taking me about 3 hours.
Pretty good.
3 days.
That you made it last 3 days. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it's so good.
Carrot cake, vanilla cake, German chocolate cake. Yeah, I mean, carrot cake's probably a top five cake in my book.
I love an olive oil cake.
I'm sorry, what?
An olive oil cake?
What? Oh, you know what? Pound cake.
Pound cake's really good.
Lemon pound cake. Miss Geraldine from the church makes a phenomenal cake.
What's olive oil
cake? My grandma Ida, may she rest in peace, great pound cake.
Shout out Grandma Ida.
Yeah,
You guys have never had olive oil cake?
Yeah. 7-Up cake is also really, really good.
7-Up
cake? Oh, yeah, I've had that. Very
cake.
Good. Classic
31-day cake.
31-day?
21?
Yeah, there's a lot of different cakes out there.
Olive oil cake?
Olive oil cake is elite.
Yeah, it's good. It's really
top
good.
Top tier.
Really good.
Do they have that at Dutch? Really good. I think the Dutch, do they have it there? I think maybe I have had. I'm not sure.
I don't know the menu off the top of my head.
Well, you should. We're unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.